I'm Silvahara Pettion. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.
Hello, everybody. I'm Silvahara Pettion. Welcome to another edition of the Silvahara Pettion Show. Today, a special guest. Yes, all of my guests are special, but today, a very important guest, because what he does and what he says and what he teaches and the way he mentors and coaches is, I believe, what we all need in our lives, considering we are just recovering from COVID. We've all had to make a pivot in our lives and our businesses, and no one better to help us figure out how to do that and how to do that effectively than David Kesey. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to introduce him by saying he's written an incredible book, Find a Way. It is a internationally bestseller, correct?
That's right. David
is a business strategist, a high performance coach, and you have such a long list of accomplishments that I am just going to say we're going to talk about who you are and where you come from and where your background is and how successful you've been in your own life to be in a position to help others find that kind of success.
Great.
So let's talk about the book.
Yeah, let's do it.
Find a Way. I found the title interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you a little story before we actually get to yours.
Okay.
I was doing some research, reading about you and reading about the book. Mm. And one of the things I did was I went into Facebook and I typed in Find a Way.
Mm.
And interestingly enough,
yeah,
there were about a dozen of my own posts that popped up.
That's awesome.
And I thought, man, I guess use the phrase find a way a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found that interesting, and I found alignment in what we do and how we think and our mindset towards achieving goals.
Yeah.
But what really struck me is where this title came from. Mm-hmm. It was from a conversation you had with your mom.
Yeah.
And that's a really great story. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, it kind of started, my mother has always been really strong. She's been a role model in my life, and I was a baseball player. So when I was 4 years old, I knew what I wanted to do. I was sitting there watching the Dodgers on TV, and I thought, I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player one day. And so it happened. When my parents found out, they're like, well, you know, anything you're going to do, you should overdo it. And so I ended up on five teams in Little League.
At the same time?
At the same time. On Saturdays, it would just be 8 till dark, 8 a.m. till dark, just playing. My mom would pack all the uniforms in the car, and I went on and did good in Little League, went into high school, was MVP of our school, and was able to lead the state of Florida in hitting, and then went on into college, and then was getting recruited by a bunch of Major League teams that were scouting me out for the draft. And then one day, ended up getting a bad injury. And
tell me that story, because I feel like we all have some way, somehow had a setback in life.
Yep.
And to have a moment like that where you have a dream and to have it just like come to a head and slip through your fingers.
Oh yeah.
It is excruciatingly painful.
It was devastating for sure. So, you know, you spend your entire life with one mission, one goal, and you know, my mom was there. She saw the Friday nights where I would skip parties. I don't think I ever even went to a party until I was 22 years old. I skipped all parties and everything. It was just all about baseball. And I was in college at this time. I was in my junior year. No, it was my, I'm sorry. It was my senior year of high of college. And I'm playing in this game. And the pitcher's getting, all the scouts are sitting in the stands. And the pitcher pitches the ball to the batter. The batter bunts the ball. I'm playing second base. I go to cover first base. He throws the ball up the line. And the runner runs into my wrist and snap. I go down. And I'm sitting on the field holding my wrist, which had been broken. And I'm looking in the stands. And I see all the scouts take their notepads and look at my agent and say, thanks, but no thanks. And they walk away. And it was just devastating because it was like watching your dream slowly walk away from you and there's nothing you could do. You'd been working so hard to that point. And that's devastating. And I think a lot of people today are having their version of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's like, well, what do you do? And in that moment, I went to my father and I said, you know, the draft came and went. I didn't get picked, even though I was set to be in the draft. And I went to my dad. I said, Dad, what do I do? And he said, listen to me, good son. You're a hell of a ball player. Now go get a job and start paying rent. I didn't really want to hear that.
We've all heard a version of that, just for the record.
And so I went to my brother, and he kind of said the same thing. He's like, you know, Dad has a point. And then I went to my mother, and I said, Mom, you know, maybe Dad's got a point. Maybe John's got a point. Like, what should I do? And she said, honey, you're developing a bad habit right now. And I said, what's that? She said, you're going up to people, and asking their opinion, hoping that you get a good enough excuse to sell out on your dream. Your dream is not for sale. Go find a way. And that was the thing that my mom has always kind of been my rock like that. And she's the one, I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. And so I got online and I started looking for teams that I could try out on. I called one of the managers. I said, hey, I want to come out and try out for you. And he said, you know, we don't do it like that. You gotta go to the scouting bureau.
Yeah, there's a protocol.
Right.
There's a process.
But those were the people who wrote me off.
Right.
Their line to my agent literally was, we don't buy damaged goods.
Can we unpack all of this a
yeah,
little bit?
Yeah,
because,
let's do it.
Because, you know, I think we've all felt some version of this,
yeah.
Right? I mean, especially with COVID, a lot of people have lost their businesses.
Yeah.
The divorce rate has skyrocketed, right?
Yeah.
And people have lost marriages. They've lost their income. The amount of loss and failure we've experienced has been beyond what most of us would have imagined. Mm-hmm. To be able to find the courage, the gumption, the tenacity to face reality, right? To look reality in the face and say, I do not accept this. Yeah. I am going to rewrite my story.
Yes.
Right? That takes a lot. Talk to me about, the advice was great, but the work to get yourself mentally and emotionally prepared to find a way.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it was interesting as I went to try out for this team, and I think the rest of the story kind of illustrates is as I go to try out for the team, I talk this manager into it. He finally lets me come out. I go out there and he lets me try out. And I do outstanding. So while I knock the ball out of the park, I'm doing really well. And he ended up taking me. What allowed me to be able to do that was a whole entire career of practicing and rehearsing and sticking to a vision and never doubting that I could get there. And so when I was there, it almost felt like I belonged there, like I had been put in this situation based on the skill sets that I had developed. And I think that it's easy for us to lose confidence in ourselves based on the circumstances, but what I learned is you never want to let your dreams be predicated on your current circumstances. If you've been working hard, if you've been working hard and you've been putting in the time, you can access that confidence to perform when it matters.
In fact, I'd like to read something here. You said the professional understands if you have an unwavering desire and an unwavering commitment to find a way to win. The circumstances are irrelevant.
Yes.
And that is the difference between an amateur and a professional. You continue to say, once you commit, everything will align for you. The right circumstances, the right scenarios, the right people at the right time, which is so counterintuitive because most people feel like they have to have the right people around them. They have to have the right funding. They have to have the right opportunity. They have to have the all of these things that are exterior, mm-hmm. right, have to happen in order for them to be able to do something.
Yes.
You say it's the other way around.
Yes.
You have to actually do the thing, mm-hmm. and once you create movement, and once you're on the path, everything will align.
Right.
How do you strengthen your belief in that?
I think it's a habit, right? So like one of the things I say is, you know, in my realm of coaching people in terms of their life performance, business performance, and some even professional athletes, I'm coaching some people in the major leagues right now, they'll say stuff like, well, you know, I gotta get motivated so I can take action. And I'm like, no, it's you take action to get motivated. It's actually inverted. And what I have found is that once you commit, life will just show up and align for you. It's actually your commitment that attracts the things needed to hit what you said. In fact, you know what I've discovered? A lot of times we judge the hard thing that came up. We're like, you know what, I'm committed to this, I want to do this. And something hard shows up, but we just think it's hard. That's actually the exact thing that we needed to get to where we want to go. And so if we just don't judge it and we just stay committed to that vision, inside the book what I talk about is successful people tend to live in a relentless reality.
What does that mean?
It means that in their language, no matter what happens, all roads lead to them hitting the vision, right? So it'll be like, you know what, we're going to start this company. We can't start the company, it's too hard. That's exactly why we need to do it, is because it's hard, mm-hmm. right? They make everything mean that they're moving towards their mission. And I think that that comes from an unwavering commitment to never give up, to keep moving forward, and the right things will just show up.
You know, there's people that would say, you know, it's great to be committed to your plan,
yeah,
right? It's great to have that focus and that goal, but you should always have a plan B.
For sure.
Should we have a plan B?
You know, I don't.
I never did either.
I don't, because once I have plan B, plan B distracts from plan A. And so everything I've ever done, whether it was wanting to be a professional baseball player, breaking sales records, starting my own company, whatever it was, I was, even now, I'm relentlessly obsessed with serving my clients. And I know you are too. Like, I wake up in the morning like, how can I better serve them? It's an obsession that I just don't see any other option other than option A. And I think that if you really look at anybody who's done anything really on a high level, you would see that there's only option A.
And this leads to the conversation that I really want to have, which is a lot of people think they don't have what it takes. Mm. And in the book, you say it's not talent that wins.
Yeah.
It is skill that will trump talent any day.
That's right.
I am a firm believer of that, because just like you say in the book, you were told you weren't the best hitter, you weren't,
yes,
the best in any of the positions at,
yeah,
playing baseball, right?
Right.
But that your commitment, and this is what got you onto the team that you wanted, right?
Right.
Your commitment to win,
yeah,
your dedication to win, mm-hmm, is what sets you apart from everyone else.
Right.
And I've recognized that in my own life as well. Mm-hmm. I never had a plan B.
Yeah.
I will find a way.
Yeah.
I will figure it out. Mm-hmm. There's always another path.
Yeah.
If someone says no, I don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
But to cultivate that attitude and be that resourceful, right? Mm-hmm. If someone's listening and they're thinking, or watching and thinking, oh, that's great. I'd love to have that mindset. And I know I don't have that mindset. Mm-hmm. Where do I begin?
Yes.
How do I cultivate that mindset?
Yeah.
So that I can be relentless,
right.
I can be resourceful.
Sure. So I think, you know, it's interesting. When I got to the professional level in baseball, what I noticed is all the best hitters hit off a batting tee, the same batting tee that T-ballers who are 4 years old hit off of. And I used to think to myself, why do they do that? And the answer is, those are small drills you can do to practice what will have to happen in the game.
Mm.
So when we look at, well, I want to be committed on that big level. Okay, can you have integrity in what you said you would do today? I said I would do this, boom, I did it. I said I would do this, boom, I did it. And you get in this habit of, I do what I say, I do what I say, I do what I say,
mm,
so that when you do have to take that big risk, when you do have to take that big jump, that is who you are. You are somebody who does what they said they would do, the way they said they would do it, at the time frame they said they would do it, and there is no cutting corners. And when you have that, you start small, right? You start small,
mm-hmm,
and then you do bigger things. Honey, we're gonna go out to date night on Friday nights. When Friday night comes, it's date night time.
Right.
Right? So I think that becomes a habit. I think success is actually a habit.
Did you make up the 300 perfect swings a day?
Yes.
You made that up.
I didn't make that up. I learned
that
from a hitting coach I had named Tony Gwynn, who was a...
Tell me about, yeah, that. Tell me about that experience and how that came about and how that fits into what you're saying exactly.
Sure.
Is this constant practice of doing the small things to,
yes,
be prepared for that big thing, yep, that you want to achieve.
So it was really interesting when I had a chance to be coached by Tony Gwynn for him to teach me how to hit. He came out, he set a bucket down, and he put a ball on the outside corner. He said, I'll be back. And I'm like, you'd be back? What kind of hitting lesson is this? He's like, and I want to see you hit a bucket all in the same spot in a pile out there every single time. And I thought, that's easy. I'm a professional baseball player in the offseason. I can do that. No, it is not easy to just sit there and boom, 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 and do it every single time. And he said to me, I said, why am I doing this over and over? And he said, if you can't do it without the ball moving, what makes you think you can do it when the ball is going 92 miles an hour? And so what the tee allows you to do is focus on your swing, focus on your mechanics, focus on how you do this over and over, so that when you're in the game, you can't focus on those things. You can only focus on in fact, the only thing that I tell professional athletes, professional baseball players when I'm teaching them is, you get one swing thought, no more than that. If you have any more than that, the ball is by you, because,
yeah,
you just can't focus on it. So being on the tee or any kind of little drill, right? Like, I coach a lot of salespeople, and what we will drill and rehearse is, how are you saying that one line? over and over? Are you saying it with an upward swing where you kind of sound like you don't believe yourself? Or are you saying it with a downward swing where you believe yourself? So little things like that make a big difference, and they all add up to this thing called confidence to go all in on yourself.
You know, this might be kind of a tangent here, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said to me, and it kind of made complete sense. He said to me that baseball is the ultimate team sport. That is also an individual sport.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And isn't that just a metaphor for life?
Oh yeah.
And do you think playing that sport prepared you for what you were meant to do and your purpose today, now sitting here and coaching and being a mentor to so many people?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because when baseball ended, I was devastated. I went into a full-blown depression and identity crisis. I ended up on my parents' couch. My mom was paying for my car at the time. I mean, I was in a full-blown, I hit rock bottom. And I thought, because if I'm not a baseball player, who am I? And where do I go from? I didn't know who I was. And probably I'd say about 3-4 years later, after I'd picked myself up and got back into it, I realized, oh my gosh, all of that was a gift for me to give away now, to be able to lead people, because there are, and for me, baseball is a microcosm for life, is very much a microcosm.
I've heard that
for
said
life.
Too. Explain that for those who don't know baseball or don't watch baseball.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, ask yourself, the people that do a great job at work, but for some reason the company's got to let them go. That's a lot like an umpire calling a pitch a strike when you thought it was a ball. It's not fair. The umpire's calling bad pitches. Yeah, life is a lot like that. You run into those kinds of things where you have to have a strategy. You got to keep your head cool. Where baseball, when you get to the professional level, you're playing 160 games over 6 months. You got to have the stamina. You got to pace yourself. There's a lot. I mean, it's a never-ending microcosm for life, the entire thing. Now, I will say this, and my brother told me this one time, because I told him during this time when I retired from baseball, I was like, what am I going to do? And he said, David, you need to understand that everything's relative. That the mastery that you've had to do to become a master at baseball will be relative to other things. And you'll be able to take those lessons. And he was right. Everything that I took it into sales, crushed it. Took it in running my own company, crushed it. Took it to being a professional speaker, crushed it. And it was all the things that I had learned from that microcosm of life called baseball.
And do you also think that it was your ability and your skill to consistently follow through, to practice the little things, to have a specific type of mindset in approaching things and solving problems?
Yeah.
Because we all know any type of mastery requires mastery of mindset.
Oh yeah.
And if you've mastered your mindset in baseball, which is what you have to do in order to be successful,
you do. Yeah.
Then you can take that everywhere else. And I can so relate to having an identity crisis after something ends. Right?
Yeah.
And so many people can relate to that now, particularly with the end of a lot of things because of COVID.
Yeah.
And pivoting is significant.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I want to speak to two things. The first one is the mindset that I think baseball helped me with the most is learning how to deal with failure. Because in baseball, you are an absolute Hall of Famer if you are out 7 out of 10 times. And so there's times where you'll go 0 for 30. You won't get a hit for 30 at-bats. What are you thinking on at-bat number 29 when you haven't gotten a hit and they're chanting at you and yelling at you? Like, the ability to handle loss and continue moving forward in the face of what appears to be no results, I think is the best gift that baseball could have given me. Because when you get into sales, most of it's rejection. When you get into company, having your own company, most of it's failure, most of it's rejection. Life is that way. Right? And so being able to handle that was one thing. In terms of an identity crisis, what I went through, the thing that I learned was this. My mind tends to lie to me, and maybe, you know, our listeners are the same way, is that my mind tends to tell me, you are what you have. If you've got the fancy car, well, then you're fancy. If you've got the really rich house and the big bank account, well, you're successful. But the problem with that lie is, who are you when you don't have that? And then at the same time, there's another lie that says, well, I am what I do. If you're a baseball player, well, then you're a baseball player.
Right.
But the problem is, who are you when you're not now? And that's a dangerous thing to walk into. That's a lie that our mind tells us. Well, I am that. I am this. But you're much bigger than that. You're much bigger than a baseball player. You're much bigger than what your ego has told you that you are.
I'm Silvahara Pettyon. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.